there's a story about that Bible. Back when I first got to know Jesse, I was a youth pastor in Tuscaloosa, and Jesse came and led worship at an event and left his Bible, and I had it for about 12 years, and finally just gave it back to him. So he's called me a Bible thief after all these years. Of course, then I did the preacher thing and asked him how his Bible study had been going since I had it for 12 years and all that stuff. Everybody good this morning? All right. Everybody awake? Kind of, sort of. I'm seeing some yes, seeing some no. All right. Well, let's pray before we get started about that. This morning, I'm a little overcome with emotion. This morning, in my mind, you just painted a picture of your faithfulness. I knew the song we were about to sing and had no clue. Just in my mind as I'm sitting there listening. You took me back to a time before I could even read. And I remember sitting in church with my grandmother, who's with you now. And I remember her singing that song. I remember being so confused about the words and what it meant. If I'm honest this morning, I came in the door frustrated and discouraged in some ways, and doubting myself and some things that I'm dealing with and the calling and just... God, sometimes things just get so big and just feel so heavy, and yet you reminded me this morning how faithful you are and how you've been with me, even in preparing me in moments like that to hear my grandmother sing the words of the gospel over me. The fact that she's with you now and there's hope beyond this life, and that these are all momentary things, temporary affliction, and pale in comparison to the weight of your eternal glory. Father, I need you this morning. I know that you've given me a word, Father, in this new time that we come together in Scripture. And Father, with that, I know that you have that same kind of individual hope for each and every person here this morning. That, Father, in our callings, in the way that you speak to us, Father, that you want what's best for us. You want us to live for you. And Father, I'm just reminded as I hear that and I'm sitting there thinking about that sweet, sweet memory you gave me this morning. I'm so thankful for that. I worshiped you in that this morning. But God, in that, as I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, I'm just not worthy to do this. I just feel so just overwhelmed at times, so frustrated. You just remind me, just love Jesus and love people, and I'll take care of the rest. And so, Father, that's my attempt this morning. I pray that through your word, through your Holy Spirit, that you just point people to Jesus. And, Father, wherever we're at in that journey this morning, that we could just inch a step closer this morning, and Father, just finding out why you created us, who you created us to be, and why you created us, and when you created us, and all of these things for a great and grand purpose. And that's, it all boils down to reach people with your gospel. And so help us in that, Father. We need you. In spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our sin and our shortcoming, we just trust in you this morning and say, use us, call us, if you will. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you will, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 12 is where we'll be this morning. Sorry about all that. As we start today, there is a picture. Does anyone know what this is? Anybody ever remember that? It's a telephone, but you used to have to go and put quarters in this thing. If you're really old, maybe you used to do that less. Has anybody used a payphone lately at all? Ever? Right? We have phones in our pocket. And so we looked at this, and I was kidding with Meredith. I said, man, I said, when we put the logo up, I said, I just want an old-timey phone. And this is what she came up with. And I'm like, that's not old-timey. And then we got to talking. Yeah, it kind of really is at this point. And so we looked at this, and I told her first, yes, I was going to have to let everybody know that was a payphone. We're going to be in a five-week journey in this series named Called, and really looking at the calling of individuals and us as a body. And my belief is that it's directly rooted in Scripture about callings. And in all honesty, I just want to paint just a broad stroke this morning, and my hope, and I believe God's hope in bringing us to a place like this in Scripture, is for you to understand that if you've been called to salvation, right, if you've had that calling moment, then you were called to serve. Like, if you're called to be saved, you are called to serve. In all honesty, I believe that many today in the church have received this call to be saved, called into salvation, but somehow they think it entitles them to be called to sit and to soak, just to take in and not necessarily do anything with what God is calling them. But that is not us as a body, and not us as what we believe for individuals. We are called to serve, and to serve, Rebecca, let me see that shirt back there, the least of these. You didn't even know that, but you're our model this morning. And so individual callings, and I believe groups of people have callings. We will look at both. Well, I believe we have all been called in one sense or another. It is often not as easy to navigate as this picture. You see, what happens on this thing is, for those that don't know, you pick up the handset. That's actually a handset. You put the money in, you dial a number, and you call someone, and they talk back to you, right? You hear them, they hear you, and it's a very easy process. We've even gotten smarter as technology goes. Who has a cell phone this morning? Everyone probably has a phone on them at some time or another during your day. And it's real easy to pick this up and to dial and to call someone and hear from them, and they hear from you. But sometimes when we talk about the idea of God calling us or hearing the voice of God, it gets a little tricky. Well, first and foremost, I want to stop and just assure you of this. I believe the first calling that someone needs to answer is, in fact, that call to salvation. It's found in Jesus alone. And I want to let the words of the Holy Spirit speak in a story I read this week. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. It's in Acts chapter 16. It's talking about Paul, and as he's imprisoned, and here's what it says. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. As Paul and Silas were jailed, we know that they were released and all of these things from the supernatural hand of God, and here's what it says. When the jailers saw them, they said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." It really is as simple as that this morning, that just that same situation, just that same calling that happens, someone that is brought to a point of, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" It really is that simple, to believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. That's the number one calling. That's the first calling that any of us have to answer. Faith in God through Christ. Him taking your place on the cross. And by the way, because of that, that feeds into what we are this morning. Who we are. Some of us in leadership this morning have been talking about an idea of purpose and vision. And I want you to understand that it's because of this calling that we feel that our vision is to prepare people to encounter God. Right? That's number one, that everyone has to understand and come to a place where, almost like in a John the Baptist way, that we are people that prepare the way of God in people's life, because it is God that does the saving. You understand that this morning, right? That there are people in your life that need to know the salvation of Jesus Christ, and you can't do anything about it. You can't save them, right? If they stand before a holy God one day and say, well, it's Keith's fault. It's not my fault, right? I can't do that, but I can prepare the way. I can bring them to a place where hopefully they find salvation to take them to Jesus. And so salvation is that number one calling, and that takes us to today. After that salvation calling, I believe that we also as individuals have callings beyond that. I want to read with you in Genesis 12, if you're there, the first five verses. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And all of you and your families and your earth shall be blessed." And so Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. Now, looking at the scripture this morning, this is one of the first callings I wanted us to look at. It says here, starting in verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram," this was definitely a calling moment. This was a moment that Abram was about to hear from a holy God. And while it's hugely important of what happens here in this covenant and this promise and all this, there's really more that I want to get into, more about the actual calling and the conversation that he had with God. I don't know how many of you keep up with the news or watch SportsCenter. That's kind of like my morning ritual, like I'm going to get a dose of SportsCenter before I leave the house. And really, there's a story that's going on this week by Russell Wilson. Anybody know who Russell Wilson is? If you don't know him, a.k.a. Andre Davis, looks just like Andre up here with his hat. He really, really does. It's like his twin. It creeps me out, actually. I think Russell Wilson is sitting right here. Anybody hear the story about Russell Wilson, what happened this week? It's pretty amazing. I mean, this is a guy that has an opportunity, and he's sitting in a secular interview, and they're asking him about the Super Bowl. If you don't know about the Super Bowl, it's this big game at the end of the year, right? Kind of important. A lot of money spent on commercials. He's playing against the Patriots. He's like on the goal line, last play of the Super Bowl, really. And he's got this chance to, they're thinking, hey, they're going to run the ball and win the Super Bowl, game over, all this. Russell Wilson, as this great quarterback, this great man of God, throws an interception and loses the game. Russell Wilson said in a secular interview this week and said, "I threw the interception, I took three steps, and I heard the voice of God tell me, I'm about to use you. How would you respond?" He just lost the Super Bowl. And now he's telling someone in a secular interval, "The voice of God spoke to me." Can I tell you what crazy pictures have been painted of Russell Wilson this week? It is flat out wrong how people have talked about him in the media. Even people on SportsCenter have said, "Really? Like, you heard from God in the Super Bowl? Maybe God should have told you to throw a different pass." That's what someone said that I was listening to. He's also followed that up this same week about saying that he and his girlfriend have chosen to wait to have sex before marriage until they are married. And people have said in this about how dumb that is and all of these things. And it's all just circles around him being someone that's saying, "I have heard from God." And people have painted him as this weird freak, this idiot, this someone who should have called another play. All of this, people freaking out because someone said they heard from God. Now see, I believe in this Old Testament situation here, going back to Abram, I believe that Abram actually heard an audible voice from God, a holy God. Right? In the New Testament, we kind of see that more in this still quiet voice, this Holy Spirit. But I'm not saying that God is still not capable to use both. I don't know exactly what Russell Wilson heard, how he heard it, if it was within himself or he heard God over his headset. I don't know. But I'm counting the man serious because he said, I'm going to use you based on how you respond right now. And I don't know if you saw anything after that. He handled it with class. This is this great godly example that he gave. This was someone who heard from God. Can I just stop right there for a second and challenge you with this? The number one thing that you are to ask yourself when someone comes to you and say, God told me this. All right? Number one thing. Does it line up with what God's already told other people? You get what I'm saying? Right? I mean, in this case, in Russell Wilson, him saying, hey, even in my failures, God is going to use me. I believe God spoke to him that night. Said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to set you up in a platform. And to be honest, even in the people talking about him and talking bad, God is still using him in that process, right? It might seem like a failure to some, but God is using that in his weakness, all right? And so we see that those things don't line up. If somebody comes and tell you, hey, God spoke to me, and it's something completely foreign to what God has said to anybody else, it's probably not the voice of God. So be careful of that. I want to tell you this, that God speaks, I believe, to two kinds of people. Number one, those he's calling into a relationship. God wants to have a relationship with you. And if you don't have that, if you've yet to come to that salvation under Jesus Christ, and you're really struggling with life and trying to understand that, I believe God wants to speak to you, that stirring inside of you, that there's got to be something more, that it could be the Holy Spirit calling you into relationship with him. But then secondly, he speaks to those that he knows. Right? If you're here this morning and you have a relationship with God, he wants to speak with you. And some of you, that might weird you out. Like, I don't want to hear the voice of God because I'm afraid what God may call me to do. I'm telling you, there's no option though. Right? If you're really a believer, if you've really had this experience with God and you have this relationship, then the Holy Spirit, we are told, lives inside of you. And there's no way possible that you can't communicate with the Holy Spirit unless you just have totally blocked him out and said, I'm going to live my way and I don't care. And then, to be honest, I've got to question that salvation experience, right? That you can just continue to block out the voice of God. God speaks to those he knows. God knew Abram. Listen to what he tells him. Go from your country, go from your kindred, and go from your father's house. Listen to what God called Abram to do. God talked to Abram and said, I want you to leave each and everything that you're comfortable with. Think about this. Abram had lived in all of these things, his country, his kindred, and his father's house, and God said, go. Leave. Leave everything that's comfortable. And what some would say today is, God wouldn't do that to me. God wouldn't dare want to make me uncomfortable. I just want to challenge you with this, that really, in Jamie and I's calling to come here, our idea of all this, we didn't know what God was calling us to do, but we did remember this over and over. God was calling us to live beyond comfortable. That there were going to be some things that stretched us and made us try to grow and all of these things. And really, some of this, I can relate to Abram. I grew up where I lived before I moved here, and that's all I've really ever known. And God called me from that. We just built a home. We loved our house. We had a nice house, and we lived there, and we thought, man, this might be a place that we wind up forever. We built this house, built relationships, all of these things, and was even doing ministry. But God said to leave, to go. Child of God, listen to me this morning. I believe really there is only one appropriate response. If God calls you to something, you must go. In fact, I want to challenge you to pray the dangerous prayer that Jamie and I prayed. And no example on us. This is just God working in us and us following what we had to do. We prayed before that. We were struggling. We said, life is just, man, it just seems like we're just going through the motions and just doing church and all that. Like, I just hate this. I hate our life right now. And we prayed this prayer, Lord, what do you want us to do? And then we followed up, wherever you tell us to go, we'll go. Before we prayed that together, and I told Jamie, I said, you know the ending of this prayer is going to have us living in a hut where there are king cobras. I can't stand king cobras. And I know that's what God's going to call us to do, because that's what God does when you offer to go. God moved us 20 minutes down the road in Birmingham, Alabama, a place that I've driven through and loved and have seen and been and all of these things. God called us here, right? And it was just this idea of finding out what our calling was and finding out where we needed to go. And you may be that person that says, God is going to keep me comfortable because God loves me. And God does love you, but ask the Apostle Paul. Right? I'm so sick to death of people living life and seeing something like that and saying, I will tell you, if something's going on in your life, you just don't have enough faith. Let me tell you, no one had as much faith as the Apostle Paul. This is someone that shunned his life and said, hey, by the way, as smart a Pharisee as I was wrong, and I'm ditching all that, and the way to truth, the way to life, is through Jesus. The way I was persecuting, the way I stood above people and saw a young man, Stephen, stand before this mob, and him looking to the heavens and saying, man, I see Jesus, and he's standing at the right hand of the Father, almost as if in applause of what's going on right now, being stoned to death, and it says that a man named Saul stood there and approved of it. And all of that, he says, basically, I had murdered someone. I committed murder. I persecuted the church. I can't believe this. And in fact, in my mind, I think that might be the thorn in the flesh Paul continued to deal with. Lord, remove this guilt from me. I can't believe I persecuted you. I can't believe I had a moment, God, where you spoke to me and said, Saul, why do you persecute me? But that moment, his life was changed. Saul answered the call. And then he turned into this Paul. And Deidre, we know about that, that the God of Paul is the God of all. Thank you, Drew Stevens, for that work. If you weren't there that night, you hear that nugget of wisdom, right? And so we see that calling. We see Paul change his just whole lifestyle and live out. And then to say, well, if something bad's happening to you, it's because you don't have enough faith. Let me remind you, Paul says, I've been shipwrecked. I've been naked, that means no clothes, up in the nude. I got no clothes, I've been snake bit, I've been beaten, I've been stoned and left for dead. I've had no food. I know what it is to all be without all those things, but I know what it is to be content. He lived for Christ. You mean to tell me if something goes wrong in your life, it's because you don't have enough faith? Let me tell you, let me just go on and warn you and give you warning. If you get the little jingle on the payphone and you answer and it's God on the other line, he might call you to lose everything. Everything. No matter what is going on in your life, it may be, like I said last week, to move to the uttermost parts of the world for whatever reason that God may would call you to give up everything and have a fresh start for him. So don't tell me it's not about faith. Talking about faith, let's look at Abram. He says, I want you to leave from your country, your kindred, your father's house and all this. Listen to what God does. To a land I will show you. Boy, thanks a lot, God. Right? Jamie and I praying about this, we finally landed on the place of Birmingham. In fact, we were so excited. We thought, man, this might be Birmingham. We drove over here the first day. The first day we get in Birmingham, we're driving around. We fell in love with the neighborhood that we're at. We got a ticket for running a red light. And it wasn't even red. It was yellow. I'm like, I don't get it. I mean, it wasn't a red light. How can you give me a ticket for running a red light? The officer was so friendly and knew my heart and knew that I was really coming to be a blessing for God and all of these things. And he greeted me with a warm greeting. Sir, I don't know how they do things in McCalla, but around here we stop at red lights. God bless you. Welcome to Birmingham, right? That was my first day here. But God still used that. He gave us this specific place in this direction. But listen to what God tells Abram. Go and I'll show you. I just want to stop and camp out here for a second. Some of you might be in those I'll show you moments. And here's what I mean by it. Some of you may be in a place in your relationship with God that you're really wrestling, you're really trying to struggle through everything, and you're really at this moment where God is calling in you, and you know God is calling you, and you know maybe even specifically what he's calling you to do or not do or stop or start or any of these things. You know. And you're so worried to death about everything else. I want to challenge you that God may be building an Abram moment where he says, go and I'll show you. It's a beautiful story into going into the Red Sea. And remember when Moses, you know, this whole experience where Moses and he goes through the Red Sea and it parts and, you know, he steps out there. We've got the Disney moment in our mind, the Prince of Egypt. Like, you got this crazy moment where he goes out with the staff and he does. Everything parts, and then they get to go behind him. Do you remember the crossing of the Jericho? Do you remember that, the Jordan in Jericho, going into Jericho? Do you remember that moment? It said that the priests needed to take the ark, which was, by the way, pretty heavy. There's several of them carrying it. And it said, as soon as they step into the water, then it will part. Boy, you talk about the priests had to say, man, Moses got to walk out there, do the staff, and then part. We got to step into the water. at flood stage with the ark and we're carrying it. Some of you may be at that moment right there where God is saying, I'm calling you to go. And if you'll just step into the water, right? If you'll just do what I'm telling you to do and take that first, I'll show you where you need to go. I'm not leaving you. I'll be with you. I will guide you. I will take care of you. I will comfort you. I will be there. Just like we went through in the 23rd Psalm. He will shepherd and he will comfort us where we need to go. I've used this illustration with kids before, but it really led me back to thinking of this, that really, in the grand scheme of things, God sometimes is this awesome God, right? We know this, and he's this God that sometimes will peel back the curtain and let us see this huge picture of what it's going to be. Sometimes he'll do that. It's as if you're going upstairs and you see this drawing, this painting on the wall, and you can step back and you can look and you can see the whole thing and see what's going on. And then sometimes, man, it's almost like he's wanting you to look through the peephole. Right? I'm going to give you a little bit. And here was the illustration that I used many, many years ago with you. Was really that God is like headlights on a car. Right? I want you to think about this. Anybody ever been to Panama City? You know where Panama City's at? God bless Panama City, right? We love that. It's the beach, it's sand, it's the waves, it's shark attacks, it's all of that kind of stuff, right? Seafood, all of that mixed in there together. I'll go with the viral video this week. Don't be getting out there. That's the shark's house. You know, that's what you expect when you go out there. All right? But here's the idea. If you know where Panama City's at and you know how to drive there, but you leave tonight after dark, you're only going to see a little bit at a time. Like, you know Panama City's out there, but it's only going to be just a little bit at a time. And man, in all honesty, I think sometimes that's the way God calls us. That's the idea of it, because maybe and sometimes seeing the whole picture would just freak us out and we would say, no, I'm not going on that journey. Right? But a step at a time, it becomes more manageable. God's showing us, hey, I'm going to light the path just a little bit further. If you'll just trust me, if you'll go to where the light, I promise we're going to get more light. You're going to see what's happening. Can I just tell you this? No matter the extreme that God has called me to go to, no matter the extreme to what God has called me to give up, can I just tell you that His way is better than my way? It's no shock. It's in the Scripture. But I can tell you and give you testimony to that if you want to, that His way is better than our way. Now listen to this. He continues to go on. Verse 2, he says this, I'm going to make you into a great nation. You know that Abram and Sarah here, right here in this moment, couldn't even have kids in this moment? Right, and you've got this boisterous God talking to someone who's already struggled with the idea that, hey, we can't have kids, and you're going to make me into a great nation? How is that even possible? Possible through Jesus and the line that would come through Abram. But here I just want to point out that sometimes I believe God sees more in us than we even do in ourselves. Sit there and say, man, I get what you're saying, but God can't use me. He used people who couldn't have children at this point and made a great nation. And then I love verse 4. Look at this. Looking at verse 4. In all of these things, it says, leave everything that you've ever known, right? Leave your country, your kindred, your father's house, and I'm going to tell you where to go. And listen to what verse 4 starts out with. So Abram went. Right? Praise God for the faith of Abram. I believe God is wanting to call up a generation of people within this room and this city and this state and this country that will be like Abram. And if he calls and says, leave your kindred, leave your house, leave your family, leave all of these things and just go where I tell you, God is wanting a generation of Abrams that will pick up the phone on the call and say this, I'll go. I'm going to go. Wherever you've called me to, no matter what it costs, I will go. I'll show it to you later, God says. And Abram says, okay. And he went. I don't know about you. I think that God in times has shown people disagree with him. But here in this moment in Scripture, we don't see a disagreement. We see that in all these things, God tells this man who can't have kids, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And I want you to go. And I'll tell you later, it says, Abram went as the Lord told him. I just want to stop here. Some may have dealt with this for years. There may be callings in your life, right? Beyond salvation, just how to live your life and the things to do and maybe the direction. direction of your life, and God has called you, and it says, as the Lord has told him, or in this case, has told him or her, and you for some reason are camping back and saying, she's not ready yet. I can't do that until this happens. I can't do that until I prepare this way. I can't do that because of this. Can I just tell you that if God has called you, he knows exactly where you're at and exactly what's going on. You need to go. One step in front of the other, you need to go. He called and Abram went. The Sunday school thing to say would be, well, I'll tell you what, Brantley, if God called me, wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow. I'm a terrible worship leader. Y'all never heard this hymn? I'll follow my Christ. He loves me so. Southern Baptist here. Wherever he leads, I'll go. And some of us would like to take that approach and say, man, I'll tell you what, I will go wherever he calls me to because that's me and I'm a super Christian and I'll do whatever my God calls me to do and I'll go. But man, more times than not, that might be lip service. I want to give you two things today before we close that might answer right where you're at right now whether you would go and answer the call. Number one, have you come to a place of surrender? Really, that's what it is, man. It's not the salvation moment. I mean, that's the baby step. And Jesse said it best, man, that continues on. That redemption process continues on in all facets of our life. And in that place, there has to be this moment of surrender. And I just want to challenge you to maybe think outside the box here and go from to Genesis chapter 10 and look at this and to see God's covenant with Noah and the flood and all these things and then these new people, the Tower of Babel, and then you get to the call of Abram. But can I just tell you, I believe somewhere before Genesis chapter 12 that Abram had a moment of surrender. It wasn't just this moment. He had surrendered long before this and said, God, wherever you lead me, I'll go. So that when the moment came, when the moment arise, that God said, I want you to go and I want you to do this, he was able to say, I'll go. I'll go. Because there was that moment of surrender. Some need to come to that place now and say, wherever you lead, I'll go. Make the decision now. Come to a place of surrender now and say, I'll go, I'll do, I'll stop, I'll do whatever you may call me to do, whatever it may cost. Number two, one of the other ways that you can see, possibly, if you're at a place right now to answer the call, if God calls, how are you doing in the little things? Right now. You see, because I believe this, that if you're a child of God, if you're a believer, if you have a relationship with God, he's already called you to do a bunch. It's right here. Man, he calls you to spend time with him, like in a relationship with him. And so, in those callings, like, are you in the Word? Are you open communication? The Word tells us to pray without ceasing, this ongoing conversation with God. Are you telling people about him? He's told us to do that. How are you doing in the little things that he's already called you to do? He's called you to do a lot already. Each and every person that has a relationship with him, how are you doing in that? And honestly, it comes down to a place of daily surrender. There has to be a moment where you say, man, I don't care what's going on. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what people think. Right now, right in this moment, I'm dying to myself and I'm going to live for Christ. It's a moment of surrender that God, I believe, is calling to. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? I'm going to close with just a question here. I just want to ask this. Would you be bold enough this morning before a holy God? And this isn't churchy, this isn't Sunday schoolish. I'm not asking for a response from me. In fact, I don't even want to know, unless you want to talk to me about it later. I want this to be between you and God. Would you be bold enough in a spot right now, right where you sit, July 12, 2015, before a holy God to say, call me, and I'll go. Now, before you do that, before you pray that and say those words, I want you to really think about what you're saying. Because it can mean anything. You say, Keith, man, that's a bit of a stretch right there. I just don't know that I'm in a place to do that. Can I just be completely honest with a heart of love this morning? Following a relationship with Christ should already have had that one. Right? It's not just about salvation. It's about lordship. You no longer live if you know Him. He lives through you. And so it should have been answered a long time ago, but if not, and maybe there needs to be a recommitment to that moment right now where you sit, to a holy God, are you bold enough to say, call me. I'll answer and I'll go. Just think about that for a moment. In the stillness, in the quiet, I'm not going to rush that. I want you to deal with God in that moment. Call me. I'll answer. Before I close this in prayer, you just keep your head bowed and eyes closed for just a moment. If I'm honest, I think that for us, the kind of conversations I've had with people in this body, hearing about the kind of individual they want to be and hearing about the kind of body we want to be, if that's really the case, and that's not just lip service, right, but like really genuinely mean that, I want to be different, man. I want to just be a place where people can come and be loved on them, like pointed to Jesus and prepare them to encounter God, like we're saying, that it can be done on nothing less than people coming to a moment saying, whatever you call me to do, I'll do. Tell you, man, it'll get you in some weird spots. We've got to answer. We've got to say yes. If that's who we want to be. So I challenge you to continue to deal with God as we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for times like this that we can just get together and get in worship as a corporate body together, and then get into your word. And Father, I just I pray that you've spoken this morning. I pray that that it's been clear enough, and that Holy Spirit, you continue to speak, and that we would be a people that first off would have answered that call to salvation. If there's someone in here this morning that's never answered that call, really is just trying to go through life on their own, I pray that today, Holy Spirit, you would speak and allow them just to be brought to life. That's what Scripture says, is that they're dead in their trespasses, they're dead in their sin, and you've made payment, you've redeemed them. There's got to be a moment where they come to you and accept that, accept your sacrifice, your gift, your mercy on the cross, your forgiveness. And so I pray that that's the first call that's answered. That needs to be today. I pray that that we do that. Father, if it's beyond that, if it's this moment of just really just surrendering, then I pray that would be the call we would answer today. That's who you called us to be. That's who we want to be. And Father, we just ask that you would just deal kindly to us, that in humbleness we would just come to you and say, man, you're not only my Savior, you're my Lord. Help us. We need you in that. We love you, and we pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to place all.